You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In the late 1960s, a few environmental activists with the Sierra Club were getting frustrated. The United States government had just detonated a nuclear bomb, and it was planning to detonate another. Jim Bolin, Irving Stowe, and Dorothy Stowe felt that their organization was not doing enough to oppose the nuclear tests. The three wanted a more direct type of confrontation, the kind the Sierra Club shied away from. It was this quest that led the three to leave the Sierra Club and to help found Greenpeace. What followed were confrontations with governments carrying out nuclear tests, with whalers, and with corporate polluters. The activists risked not only their freedom, but in some cases, their lives. But now questions are being raised about Greenpeace itself. Is it still the same bold organization, or is it becoming like the Sierra Club once was? These questions were triggered most recently by Greenpeace's controversial appointment of Tsipora Berman as Director of Global Climate Energy. Drew Ojije is a member of the editorial collective of The Dominion, and he's joined me by phone from Montreal to discuss this appointment. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What can you tell us about Tsipora Berman's history in the environmental movement?
She rose to prominence as a very effective voice in the media during the Collect What Sound protest that happened. But what we're more concerned about is what happened after that. Her trajectory became increasingly leaning toward corporate collaboration, or basically setting up deals with corporations. And the sort of main thing that I've looked at historically has been the deal that came out of the Great Bear Rainforest, direct action campaign and market campaign that happened in the 90s. So what happened was basically it was a very effective, you can't really say anything bad about the campaign itself. There was there was direct action, there were blockades, there was an international market campaign that put a lot of pressure on the companies that were logging in the Great Bear Rainforest. But the end result was that all fed into a closed-door negotiation with Tsipora Berman leading the negotiation, or as chief negotiator on the conservationist side, where a lot of the groups that actually did the work, the direct actions, and did the market campaigns were shut out of the process. Public oversight was removed, and the protocol agreements that were signed with First Nations and with conservation groups were basically shunted aside. And so the protocol agreement said that they would, give the negotiators a mandate to negotiate for 40% to 60% conservation. But what happened was they agreed to 20%, and that only got bumped up to 30%. When the First Nations, in the Great Bear Rainforest rejected it, and said that their land use agreements couldn't work, and so that was what actually forced it up to 30% conservation of a vast area of millions of acres of wilderness. And so we're worried that Tsipora Berman has become, it's only gotten worse from there. Obviously, people are probably more familiar with the Run of River, which I won't talk about as much, but what we're worried about is that Greenpeace, as one of the better, one of the better environmental organizations that's willing to take a stronger stand on environmental destruction, is now really jumping in to the corporate collaboration model, which is afflicting, a lot of other mainstream environmental groups. And so it's not so much that Greenpeace is worse. In fact, they're better than almost all the other environmental organizations out there, which, have partnerships with corporations on a regular basis. But what we're worried about is that they're really taking a major step in the direction of this sort of corporate collaboration, which they've sort of shown signs of with deals with Coca-Cola, before.
You mentioned Tsipora Berman's involvement on the Run of the River issue. I don't know if people are that familiar with it, so maybe you could just sketch that quickly.
Sure. Well, she led a group called Power Up Canada, and this is a company that's collaborated closely with power generation companies and has worked to privatize BC's rivers, basically. For the generation of what they call green power. In other words, what they mean by that is power that doesn't involve generating carbon. The problem, and they claim to want to reduce carbon emissions overall, and that this is a transition to a green economy. The problem is that, Sephora Berman has been backing the BC Liberals, which are doing quite a lot to add more carbon to the air, and cause a vast amount of environmental destruction at the same time. If you look at alone at the Gateway the Northern Gateway pipeline, which would bring tar sands crude from Alberta to the BC coast, that alone would contribute more carbon to the atmosphere than would ever be saved by the run of river power generation. So on the one hand, there's the rhetoric of supporting green power, but then she has publicly backed Gordon Campbell, who is undermining any kind of transition to so-called green economy.
So how have members of Greenpeace itself reacted to this appointment of somebody who's really attached her career since Clairquot to quote unquote a collaborative approach with corporations?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting. Since we started a website called SaveGreenpeace.org, because what we were hearing is that there's a lot of really strong sentiment happening, but most of it's from within Greenpeace, where people are really unhappy about this hire. And the problem is that they have jobs at Greenpeace, so they can't compromise themselves by coming out. So what we did was we created a website, SaveGreenpeace.org, and since we created that, a number of people within Greenpeace, activists, employees, sort of some founding members even, have given their sort of testimony of what's going on, and the notes that they sound are pretty similar across the board. I mean, there's I think the main problem is a lack of accountability, a lack of democracy within Greenpeace. There was no consultation with people in Canada, who are actually campaigning against Sephora Berman's, the Power Up Canada. They were actually campaigning against her, and then all of a sudden, people at Greenpeace International hire her as the global climate director for Greenpeace. And so there was, quite a lot of, there wasn't any consultation, first of all, and there was quite a bit of unhappiness about this. And certainly some people have actually already quit. Some people who have been donating to Greenpeace have stopped doing so. I don't know how far the sentiment has gotten, but certainly people from all around the world have signed onto a statement simply asking Greenpeace to stop collaborating with corporations and to not hire Sephora Berman.
So you just mentioned that and referred to it a little bit earlier, that this corporate-friendly face of Greenpeace. Do you think that is a direction they've consciously chosen to pursue now?
Well, I mean, the warning signs have been there for quite a while. I mean, they tested the waters with the sort of deals with Coca-Cola. I mean, this is at the same time that Coca-Cola was, charged as being complicit in the murder of union activists in Colombia. It's the same time that Coca-Cola was being booted out of Kerala, the province of India, for major environmental, sort of overuse and pollution of water. And at that time, Greenpeace was, making an announcement that sort of a big PR coup for Coke. They were saying, Coca-Cola is using climate-friendly refrigeration units to refrigerate their beverages, and giving using the Greenpeace sort of credibility, international brand, I guess, to bring Coca-Cola a level of credibility and sort of the sheen of green that they couldn't get anywhere else, right? So they tested the waters, but as I said in my article, you know, if I was testing the waters, hiring Sipora Berman as your global climate director is jumping in, because, you know, this is what Sipora does, is she collaborates with corporations, finds the common ground between the people who are destroying the environment and the people who are trying to stop that destruction. And the only way you can get common ground between those two people is if one side significantly weakens itself and sells out. And I think the problem that we see is that there's no accountability, there's no democracy within environmental organizations. A rare example is actually the Sierra Club, but Greenpeace is no exception. There's no, you know, if you become a member of Greenpeace or you donate $20 a month, you don't get to vote. You know, you don't get to come to any meetings. You're just supporting whatever they do. So there's not any mechanism for the supporters to actually take action. I think that's sort of fundamentally what needs to change. But the sort of root of the problem is the huge amount of money coming in from corporations and foundations, or, you know, or from corporations through foundations, that's poisoning the environmental movement.
So it is a larger issue than Greenpeace itself, though we're focusing on Greenpeace right now.
Certainly it is, yeah, but I think the Greenpeace represents historically the better instincts of the environmental movement, and they've been the closest to the, that's why we're saying save Greenpeace. You know, if it was the World Wildlife Federation, you know, there's not a lot there. It's totally predicated on collaboration with corporations at this point, but Greenpeace is different. There's something there that should be saved, and I think we need to, you know, if the will is there, I think we need to start a campaign to democratize Greenpeace and turn it into something that actually continue to be a fighting force when we need it the most.
So, for listeners who want to engage on this issue, what could they do?
Well, you can go to savegreenpeace.org and sign the statement. And I think that's probably the best way. You know, we're going to be announcing some other initiatives in the near future to try to start moving this, you know, these ideas forward and actually talking about ways that people can create alternative institutions that have that sort of transparency and accountability that a real fighting force for environmental justice would need to have. And we're going to be continuing to pressure Greenpeace to stop with this major step toward corporate collaboration.
Well, thanks a lot for taking time this morning to inform us about this issue, and hopefully people will become engaged on it.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Drew Ojijay. He's co-author of the report Offsetting Resistance, published in Dominion, and he's a member also of the editorial collective of the Dominion. If you want to find out more about this issue, as he said, and sign the petition, you can go to savegreenpeace.org.